there, Tallahassee and Chamber World. Jay Rebel here. Welcome to another episode of the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce podcast. We are delighted to have you listening with us on your favorite listening device today. We've got another wonderful show in store for you. As always, I am joined here with my co-host and show producer, Sarah Solomon. Sarah, how are we doing today?
It's a great day. Thanks for listening to us today.
Absolutely. And we have got a wonderful guest, folks. I would bet my house that you have probably seen or heard his name in the name of his company, either on the web or on your television screen at home or over the radio waves. His name is Joe Manassa. He's got a great company, Joe Manassa Real Estate. He's with us today. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jay. I'm glad to be here.
Joe is someone who is definitely a leader in the real estate industry here in Tallahassee. Last year at our annual community conference in Amelia Island, Joe was on a panel talking about sort of the state of residential real estate in our community, and just a wealth of information on the subject, but he's also a wealth of information on things like digital marketing and how to grow your business in this modern age, and we'll dive into that a little bit. But Joe, before we sort of get into the finer points of what's going on in the community, I want to know, give our listeners an opportunity to know more about you and your story and how you got into real estate.
All right. Well, I was born at TMH, so I am a Tallahassee native. I've been here since the 60s. I have four brothers, also grew up in Tallahassee. I'm the middle child, and when I played football here locally and swam at Leon High School and received an appointment to West Point, went up and played football at West Point, then spent the next 4 or 5 years in the Army as Airborne Ranger Infantry Officer. When I was getting out of the Army, I wanted to get back to Tallahassee, and real estate was really the only job opportunity in Tallahassee at that time.
What's that transition like for you to being in the Army, you know, and then jumping back to being hometown Tallahassee real estate?
No pun intended.
It was 180 degrees flip. I went from being in a very regimented lifestyle with a plan and a purpose for every minute of the day to probably the most relaxed industry in the world. So in a very relaxed town. So yeah, it was a big transition for me.
Absolutely.
You time frame this for us. When was
1991?
Okay, all right. Yeah. So things are starting to see a lot of growth in the community about that time. We were talking sort of in the pre-show moments about sort of the how much our community has grown since then. And you mentioned the population in Tallahassee since about that time is up, what, 40, 50%?
45, 50%. Yeah. We're half again as large.
Yeah, wow, big jump. So, you know, you're getting into the real estate industry. What's it like when you're starting out there? What was the Tallahassee market like when you first dove in?
It really wasn't too dissimilar from today, except the average sales price back then was in the 90s.
Wow.
You know, the average home in Tallahassee was probably $93,000, $94,000. And today, single family homes are in the 220s.
Yeah.
So
quite the
little
jump.
Difference. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No kidding. You know, kind of segueing into that, what the market looks like today. And again, you gave this great presentation last year at the Chamber Conference. Of course, we're a couple of weeks out from a conference mm-hmm. again, where there'll be lots of information like this where you can learn, folks. But give us the broad strokes. What's the market look like today, and what are the things that your agents and everyone are telling both buyers and sellers?
The market's pretty stable, ho-hum even. It's pretty much what we forecast. It's a market that is going to rank about number five of the last 30 years. So there's been a lot stronger years than this year. Even with all our population growth, there's some years in the 90s that sold more homes than what we're going to see this year. So there's no real fear that we're in some kind of crazy market where we're getting ready to balloon and see something collapse.
And, you know, it's I think that probably makes people feel good. Again, when you're looking at prices, that you know, there probably is some sticker shock. I know, you know, Sarah, we were talking earlier, not to dive into your personal world too much, but I know you
lay it all out there,
yeah, you and your husband are in the market right now looking at homes. I mean, there's a lot of certainly a lot of people who are looking to buy their first home here, and young professionals, which we tout a lot through our Talent Lives Here series. But sticker shock?
A little bit of sticker shock. There's a lot of options, though, available to, you know, the untrained eye when you look at websites and stuff. Joe, do you have any kind of general blanket advice that you might give to a buyer of a home that's in the market right now?
Well, to thine own self be true. Figure out what you want and go get it. You know, if you want, if you want some good practical fatherly advice, I would say be a value buyer unless you have the means to go out and grab anything you want. And value today, the resale market is still seeing home sell at lower values than what you would have seen in 2005 and 2006. And what's happening is the cost to create new homes is only going higher and higher and higher. I believe minimum wage is up 55% since 2005. Well, 2005 was when we had our last big housing expansion. And so basically, the next time we need to build a lot of homes to catch up to our growing population, the cost is going to be significantly higher, and these new home costs are going to be pulling up the resale values. So if you go out and buy yourself a really smart location, a really good piece of dirt, and maybe a little aged house that doesn't have all the cool HGTV amenities, you're going to outperform the market. You're going to have a house that goes up in value faster than what else is available around you, and when it comes time to sell, you're going to be sitting on some money.
So some good advice to sellers there as well. Let's talk about sort of the supply and demand in the market today. I mean, what does that look like? How would you peg things as far as where we sit in that category?
We are exactly the same as we were last July. We're at 4.5 months of supply. Historically, 6 months of supply has been a balanced market. Anything under six is a seller's market. Anything over six is a buyer's market. So right now, the overall market is very much a seller's market. The higher price points, once we get above $600,000, is still a buyer's market. But generally speaking, we're in a seller's market, and it's probably the easiest time in history to list your home, get it sold, and move on your own timetable.
How do you forecast change to that in the next 1 or 2 years?
Well, I'm constantly pulling data, and I'm looking for little micro movements that make me look for a next movement down the road. And right now, the most important trend that I'm looking at is the months of supply of homes, which we call the relative supply, and that's the supply of homes relative to the current rate of demand. And when I look at that, what I see is a reverse in trend about 3-4 months ago, where we went from shrinking supply to now we're growing supply. Now, we're growing supply in an undersupplied market, so there's no cause for concern. But if something were to drastically impact our demand side, like, for example, interest rates shoot way, way, way higher, or, you know, the state decides to finally go through with their threat and move to Orlando, you know, something like that were to happen, that would have a serious impact on our market. But in the foreseeable future, you said 1 to 2 years, I don't see anything that's going to really positively or negatively influence our market. I don't think we can overbuild because there's already enough pressure at the price points that the builders are building at that it's kind of holding them in check. And the market is standing in line for another $250,000 house in Northeast Tallahassee. But there's no dirt available, and they can't build them for that.
Right.
So, you know, what we need is something that can't be built. So what's going to happen in Tallahassee, my forecast, is what happened everywhere else since the beginning of time. We're going to have to go vertical, we're going to have to go to multifamily, and we're going to have to do all the things other large metropolitan areas did as they grew.
Are there any areas of town, you mentioned the Northeast, sort of with a long line of wanting buyers there, any other areas of town that you kind of see maybe on the rise as places that could serve to relieve some of that pressure?
Absolutely. One of the things I refer to is the West Side story in Tallahassee. Okay, and the West Side story in Tallahassee is Florida State University. Florida State University grew and grew and grew, and they didn't grow their housing in the same relationship as they grew the school. And so we started seeing the West Side neighborhoods, basically think of a tide, all the tide of students came into all these neighborhoods. And when their students live in the neighborhoods, generally speaking, families with young kids move out of those neighborhoods. And so for the last 20 years, we've seen the West Side really become student neighborhoods. And we have a great need for single family homes and townhouses that are affordable. And they've got students living in them. Well, Wall Street got into the student housing business about 10 years ago, and they're taking over all campus
towns.
Right
after they got run out of the other lines of that business.
Well, but they're taking over campus towns. And Tallahassee is seeing all these large multifamily projects being built along Tennessee Street and on Gaines and all that down there. And those are sucking students back towards them. So we're actually seeing the tide go back out. Students are moving back towards campus as far as the north side of town is concerned. Mm-hmm. And what you're going to see over the next 5 years is the west side of Tallahassee is going to become that intermediate price point, the sub $300,000 house that gives you a quarter of an acre and a nice three or four bedroom home. And homes that are selling for $120,000 right now as a student rental are going to go for $250,000, $260,000. But they're going to have new kitchens in them and cleaned up and carpet and repair all the damage.
Wink.
Plenty of that to go around. Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I was speaking with a good friend of mine who just moved into an area that I would classify as right in that sort of epicenter there. Yeah. And young family, kids, loves it. You know, and it really is like, yeah, when they first kind of started kicking around, they started seeing the moving trucks, students going back out. It really, really is fascinating. You know, the market, again, continues to change. We're seeing big new developments coming online. We here at the Chamber have been hearing about some other new housing. There's still a lot of senior housing being built. Anything on that trend front that people should be aware of?
Not really, because what you're seeing from a development standpoint is so inconsequential compared to what we saw in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And 90s were stable. I mean, what we saw in the early 2000s was not stable. But back in the 90s, we were looking at, you know, 1,500 to 2,000 new homes selling every year. And we're now, for the last 10 years, you know, in the 500 range.
Wow.
So, I really don't see any of the developments as being newsworthy yet, because it's being done at probably a little slower than necessary rate.
It's probably a good thing.
I'd like to kind of shift your focus a little bit. We can tell from how passionate you are and just from knowing you in the community that you're really knowledgeable about real estate and everything. But can you tell us a little bit more about kind of how your business has grown from the beginning and maybe the unique business model that you use, kind of contrary to what the typical real estate business does?
I've been selling real estate since 1991, and I've owned real estate companies since 92. So I've been in the business a long time. But 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago, I started our current company, Joe Manassa Real Estate. And we are using a very conventional business model that is very unconventional in real estate. And our conventional real estate model is what you would see in any Fortune 500 company. The real estate industry, I believe, puts too much stress on the real estate agents. And most good real estate agents really get abused. And they have to help buyers. They have to help sellers. They have to do their own marketing. They have to do their own advertising. They have to run signs. They have to measure houses. They have to do their own research and preparation. They basically have to be a Jack or Jill of all trades. And it's just not a sustainable model. So I just looked and decided that I was going to try to do what the more prudent companies outside of our industries do, and I was going to have specialists. We basically run everything at company level. We treat every task required in real estate as a specialty, and we have specialists do those tasks. So I have people that work for sellers. I have people that work for buyers. The two don't mix. I have people that do our marketing. They don't help buyers or sellers. I've got administrators in our company. I've got people that do work with our professional photographers we bring in. So we have people that specialize in each major function of what we do. And basically because of that, we're able to do a better job communicating with the customer, which is the number one complaint in our industry, is that, you know, I hired a realtor and they put a sign in my yard, lockbox on my door, and I never heard from them again. And that's because they have so much other stuff going on. And so we run a salary-based model. Everyone else runs a commission-based model. So my people get paid whether or not they get you to buy a house today or not. And what that does is I think it helps us deliver a little bit better customer service. And, you know, it really shows up in our five-star reviews online. We have more five-star reviews on Google than all the other real estate companies in town combined.
When you have a different model like that, do you face any challenges kind of recruiting and retaining the talent that works for you?
I don't recruit. I mean, I hire out of a different pool of people than the local competition. Mm-hmm. The local competition, and I used to be part of that, so I know it very well, is you pretty much go after the people that are getting their real estate license or choosing to get into real estate. And that's a group of people that, for one reason or another, haven't planned on earning a steady salary. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make them good. It doesn't make them bad. It just makes them a category of people that have different motivations. I like to hire people that Boeing wants to hire. I like to hire people that Google wants to hire. I go to these hiring conferences outside of Tallahassee, and I hire from inside as Tallahassee as well, but I'm looking for team players. Our industry is looking for individuals because it puts all this burden on them as entrepreneurs. I'm looking for team players. You know, I'm basically looking for a football player. They're looking for a swimmer. You know, and so it's just a different class or category of people. And so I don't have retention issues because my competition is not looking for a team player. They're not looking for someone with a salary and medical and a car, because that's what we provide ours. You know, and they have people that do phenomenal things. I have people that do phenomenal things. One way's not right, one way's wrong. I just chose to go to a more of a consumer-centric model where we're really just trying to be a little bit more efficient and deliver a little bit better service.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating. And one of the things that certainly seems to be a differentiator between you and maybe some other companies here in town is you've got the digital marketing down to a real science, it appears. I mean, it's really hard to go anywhere in town without seeing or hearing some of your advertisements. Sometimes you'll be sitting behind a car that's wrapped with Joe Manassa right in front of you. You mentioned your agents having cars. And then a lot of times, you know, it might be you talking with Barbara Corcoran on a television commercial or maybe something that comes up, you know, on when you're flipping through Facebook. But tell us a little bit about your approach to marketing your business. And let's dive into a little bit because we know you've got some exciting sort of news there coming out on that front soon.
Well, in 2007, I was exposed to blogging, and I made a commitment to blog for 30 days. I had no idea how it would help my business, but somebody that I liked, somebody I trusted, said I should be doing it. And so I wrote a blog article every day for 30 days. After 30 days, I came up for air and basically said, I'm not sure I understand the value to my business, but I'm going to give it another 30 days. The end of that 60 days, I had a completely different vision for the future of my organization. I had been getting statistics in the past, and this goes back to 2007. I had been getting statistics back then and prior that were telling me more and more consumers were moving online. But real estate, you know, as our industry is a bit of a lagging industry, you know, we want to see it happen everywhere else first. You know, the MLS in Tallahassee wasn't really digital until the late 90s. Okay, so the internet didn't really happen in real estate till about 2003, 2004. Yeah. You know, my website's older than Google. All right, I don't think I've quite had their success, but you know, it's been around since 95.
Right.
But really, it was in 2007 that I made the commitment to going the digital route. And even back then, almost 80% of all home buyers were using the internet. Nowadays, 95% of all buyers are using the internet. And none of us are surprised with that.
No.
Okay? But look around. Is 95% of the marketing in real estate being done online? No. Mm-hmm. You know, I received an email from somebody that I like and trust in another industry, and they asked me what I thought. They had been in this magazine, and they had been in the newspaper, and nobody was calling them. I said, well, maybe you need to go where your consumer is. You know, I don't think they're reading magazines anymore. You know, I don't think they're really reading the newspaper anymore. You got to go where the consumer is. For real estate, 95% of them are online. I want to not market online. I want to do my business online. I look at it as we are a store online. We are not somebody that does advertising online.
Yeah, that's fabulous. So you mentioned to us earlier before we sat down, you've got your, I don't know if it's your first, but okay, first book coming out soon. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
I did all my own marketing for years and years and years, and it allowed me to just spend tons of time learning and developing techniques and seizing and stealing processes from people all over the world. But a couple of years ago, I hired a dynamite marketing person. I don't know if you know Lucille Asbury. She's just a brilliant, so she's taken my role on as running our marketing. And it gave me some time, and then we started hiring assistants for her and realized, you know, I need something to help train them. So I wrote a book on digital marketing. And we are a digital marketing company that sells real estate. We are not a real estate company that does digital marketing.
Yeah.
And it's just a whole new world out there. And she runs our digital marketing, does a great job. But I wrote a book so that I could help train the staff as we brought them in.
That's fascinating. And I'm sure that it will go wider than that, too. Can we talk a little bit more about your blog? Because when I hear that you have written a blog post every day since 2007, I'm like, wow, I would never know what to write. Tell us a little bit more about what you write about and where you get the ideas.
That's an early fear of anybody who takes on content marketing. And when you call it a blog, you picture somebody that doesn't have anything else to do and they write online. When you call it content marketing, it really gives it a different perception, but it's really the same thing. And for me, I started out thinking, what am I going to write about? But literally, I can wake up. I typically write my stuff at about 4:45 to 5:30 in the morning, and it's posted before 6 o'clock every day. And I mean, I have not missed a weekday since I started July 1, 2007.
Wow.
And that includes holidays, Christmas, Easter. Never have missed a weekday.
Real
and
slacker.
I know. But I don't, there is always a myriad of ideas, because when you learn how to properly produce content, you realize that you should write everything from the eyes of the consumer. When I started, I tried to write what I knew.
Mm-hmm.
After that first 60 days was up, I realized I need to write about questions and the questions that the typical consumer has. Well, in 2007, I had already been in the business for over 15 years. I could promise you, digital hasn't changed the buyer. It has changed the buyer's behavior. It has changed the way they search for homes. It has changed their awareness of certain things. But the fears, concerns, and questions they have, I'm guessing they've been around since the beginning of time. And so all I have to do is find a specific angle on those questions and write specifically about that niche angle. Additionally, I also write about different Tallahassee neighborhoods. And, you know, if I write about a neighborhood, well, 3 months later, things have changed. So I've kind of got a cycle of about 3.5-4 months where I write about our top neighborhoods in town that represent about 40% of our sales. So for me, developing a content niche was not difficult, because if you are doing digital marketing, you want to own a tiny, tiny niche of the internet. If you try to write about a generalized topic, you'll get passed by everybody else. There's too much noise on the internet. But if you can write about a tiny sliver of it, and for me it was Tallahassee real estate, you can actually carve out a pretty good niche.
Yeah, that's just music to my ears. I always enjoy this kind of conversation about digital marketing. You know, that's one of the reasons we have this lovely show right here. Mm-hmm. We want to try to provide people as many ways as they can to find out what's going on in Tallahassee. And this is certainly a fascinating range of things here. When you publish a blog, obviously it's going on the website. What happens? Take us inside sort of the war room, Joe Manassa Real Estate War Room. Where does it go from there?
Well, you got to reverse engineer the thinking. Mm-hmm. You got to go, what am I trying to accomplish? Well, for people who own websites that make their living off of those websites like we do, there are certain keywords we want to own. When I say own, I mean when somebody searches that a keyword is a string of words when put together and put into a search engine. They're seen as a singular term keyword, but it could be 5, 6, 7, 10 words.
Yeah.
You know, what are people typing in Google, and why do we want our website to be the answer for that? So if somebody's typing in, how big are homes in Lafayette Oaks, I want Joe Manasseh Real Estate to have the answer to that question. That's why when you say, what do you write about, there's an infinite number of things. And it all starts around the keywords that you want to own or control. And so when you say, oh, so you write a blog post, what are you going to do? No, it actually starts way before that. It's what keyword do you want to own, and what's your plan for that? And so let's just take Lafayette Oaks and a nice little neighborhood on the east side of town I wrote about this morning. That's why it's on the top of my mind. You know, how many different search terms are there with Lafayette Oaks? Well, you can actually research that. You can go to Google and you can type in Lafayette Oaks and see what the autofill is going to give you. Okay, there's probably Lafayette Oaks in 200 neighborhood communities around the country. So I don't want to actually be the answer for their neighborhood. So I really want to isolate it to Tallahassee. And when I write an article, it's usually so that I can control a very specific keyword. And then our digital marketing only starts once the content's written. It's going to go on Facebook. And you can put stuff on Facebook and that has almost zero value. If you don't pay to boost your article on Facebook, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that we boost the article on Facebook, and we've got over 10,000 people that like us on Facebook. We do have actually a pretty good exposure network for free, so to speak.
Yeah, your organic's pretty good at that rate. Yeah.
But it still is paltry. Mm-hmm. You have to boost it. And so if you're not spending money on your digital marketing, you're kidding yourself. When I started in blogging, you really didn't have to do it that well. The marketing side of the post writing content, but nowadays you really do. But I've got 11 different Twitter accounts, and they each post about 12 unique posts a day. So we're trying to drive Twitter traffic back to our website, and I've got enough evergreen content, stuff that'll basically be good at any time, that we get a lot of traffic from that through Twitter. Hmm. But our morning writing goes out on our different Twitter accounts. We've got Instagram and we've got Pinterest, and we typically look for ways to find channels that we can promote our content that are more likely to have a good pool of people for our content.
Very cool.
Rounding in the conversation here, is there anything about the Tallahassee real estate market that you wish more people knew about?
My company.
Good answer.
Nailed it.
You know, our slogan is, why hire a real estate agent when you can hire an entire real estate company? Mm. And we try to bring that when you're buying and when you're selling. We don't give you an agent. We give you a team of people that each has a specialty that hopefully will give you better service along the way in each different element of what you're going through when you go through that transaction.
Very cool. I can tell you, and you know, we'll kind of bring this in for Lane. I can speak from experience. Stacy Boone on your team has sold us not one but two houses with my wife and I, and just a fabulous experience. And a lot of great real estate folks here in town, but I can certainly vouch for the Joe Manasseh experience. And I think you guys are really innovative in the market. I find that your entire approach to what you said about being a digital marketing company that sells real estate is just absolutely fascinating. And I think, folks, if you're listening, if your company, no matter what you're doing, is not engaged in that kind of thinking, you probably ought to go and buy Joe's book coming out soon, right? Okay, what's the...
Right now, it's in editing with the publisher. It's going to be first published in London. It's coming out in multilingual because the internet is not just the U.S. It's going to be published in February in London, and then it's going to stateside in May.
Well, we'll have to make sure there's a chamber event somewhere on your book tour. Working like title.
The Business of Getting Business.
Yeah, pretty clean cut there, folks. Bringing it home again, folks, Joe Manassa. Joe, where do we send them if they want to learn more about your company?
You can go find us on Facebook. You can find us on Google. You can visit our website, www.manassa.com. That's MANAUSA.com. Or give us a call at 888-0888.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, folks, once again, Joe Manassa, great guest with us today. Be sure to check out his blogs and all the information that he and his company make available for real estate here in our market. And always, we hope you're enjoying listening to the show. Make sure you go on, leave us a 5-star review. You know, we certainly prefer those with 5 stars. Leave us a message. Tell us how much you love the show. Tell us how much you enjoyed hearing Joe. Be sure to tell your friends, share it, like it, and engage with us on all of our social media platforms. You can find us at Tal Chamber. That's at T-A-L Chamber on all your favorite social media feeds. And as always, you can find out everything that's going on in the chamber world at www.talchamber.com. Signing off for now, folks. We'll see you again real soon. Be sure to stay tuned for some exciting new episodes coming up here in the next few weeks. Thanks for being with us, and thanks again, Joe, for being a guest on the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.